All right, good evening, everyone. This is John Adolfi. Welcome to our September event. It is September 16th. It is 7 p.m. And tonight we're going to talk about something that I don't know if it's out there. I'm sure it's everything's on the internet. But how do you buy a house with a credit card? And Nikki and John Fowler are here as our guest speakers. And I don't know if John's going to be doing any speaking, but if he is, he's welcome to, because I'd love to hear what he has to say. But Nikki has actually and is in the process of purchasing homes, supplementing the process of financing homes with credit cards. And I'm very curious to learn more how the whole process works. Now, Nikki is not a public speaker or a teacher. Are you a teacher? Are you a little bit? I know, John, you're a teacher. John teaches golf, and you work up at
Oswego
Country Club. Okay. So if anybody wants to improve your swing, I want you to talk to John after this is over with, okay? Nikki has been around our office for, golly, what, 3-4 years? Yeah. And what was great is when I met Nikki and John, they were really hot about doing real estate. And they had done the Kiyosaki, I believe, right? Okay, learned some things there. Were, you know, investing in themselves and trying to learn how to, you know, be a real estate investor. Something inspired them as you, because that's why you're here tonight, you know. I mean, you could be anywhere else but here if you wanted to. And something inspired her and her husband to do something about it. And so, but Nikki was frustrated. John was frustrated. And maybe you understand this, where you don't have the resources to just run out there and do the thing that you have a passion for. Oh, that's so frustrating. And so I would talk to them just once in a while. I'd follow up with you. Nikki, how's it going? Anything we can do? Nikki, is, you know, has anything changed, you know? No, John, we still have the house in Minetto, and it's, you know, it's right to the brim as far as the equity. No equity. You know, maybe you guys can relate to that. No equity. Where do we get the equity? Where do we get the money to start this thing, you know? So one of the ways that John and Nikki broke through that lack of equity bubble, one of the ways, okay, and I'll let Nikki decide how much she wants to share tonight as far as her story, was through credit cards. And I find that very, very interesting. So I'm going to turn this over to you. And like I say, you can either clip that right on your shirt, which would be probably, and I'll just set that right there for right now. There you go.
There we go. Okay. All right. So as John said, we ended up a couple years, probably about six, well, maybe 7 years ago, going to like a Robert Kiyosaki presentation that had come through town, and we ended up buying into one of their packages. And we ended up only going to one. You know, they say, oh, these seminars are going to come through town all the time. Well, they have like one initially, and then after that you've got to travel. And we were too broke to even travel to go to any of the other seminars. So it really cost us quite a bit for this seminar that we only ever got to take one of. But one of the things, the first day that the instructor talked to us all about was, who has a credit card? And, of course, everybody raises their hand, yeah, we've got a credit card. Well, when we left for lunch that day, part of our homework for lunch was to call all of the credit card companies that we had, what do you have in your wallet, and call every one of those companies at lunchtime and ask them to increase your credit limit. And, of course, everybody in the room was like, huh, do what? Because we've all been taught, you know, to keep your credit cards in check. And so that was very scary, but we were like, okay, we've just paid all this money to do this, so we'll try this. So we did, and most of them, you know, we had a small business with John being the golf pro, and, you know, so our credit was good. We had always maintained, you know, paying our bills on time and stuff like that. We didn't always pay everything off, but we were never late. So our credit was getting better and better, even though we were still dead broke. And so then that night when we went home, that our homework was to come back the next morning with at least two new credit cards that we could be approved for, either online or calling, you know, someplace. And, of course, everybody again was like, is he crazy? I'm doing everything I can to make sure I cut up credit cards and you know, like the store credit cards and things like that, the revolving credit, making sure that, you know, I never open those types of accounts and stuff. So to open these new ones was a little scary.
How many? Two?
We had to open two new credit cards that next day for our homework. And this was just before, this was early or mid-2008. So this was before the whole crash happened. But luckily, you know, we did get those things in place, and we're never going to use them, but I did keep it open. One of the things that he explained to us was that the more credit that you have available to you and the more that you can show that you can manage that credit over the period of, you know, years, the better and better your credit scores get. And actually, your credit scores will start to increase. And even if you've got, what do they say, a certain debt to income ratio, sure, but you're still managing, you know, everything in a good way, that they're not going to take it away from you. And in fact, they just keep sending you, you know, more and more offers. So that did slow it a little bit down a little bit after 2008. And then we had this other, we did purchase a house in Minetto using home equity. And when we went in there, we completely gutted the whole thing. Everything that we changed about it was on either Home Depot credit card or Lowe's credit card. And then for the next, you know, couple of years, we started paying those off. So home equity paid for the main part of the house, but all the repairs pretty much we did with credit card. And that took me about 2 years to pay it off. But, you know, I'd get those 0% offers for 24 months, and I would use those as much as I could. So we finally got all of that part done, and that's when John would be calling and saying, well, you know, are you ready to do something else? And I'm like, well, our home equity is, you know, filled to the rim, but how else am I going to do this? Well, we started getting all these, you know, cash offers or the checks that they send you. And we had one particular credit card company that was a very high interest rate, but they would give us incredible balance transfer offers. It'd be like 1% for 18 months. So I'm going, all right, so if I borrow $10,000, it's going to cost me $100 to borrow that $10,000 for 18 months. I can't go to the bank for that. And then the other thing we were learning is looking at some of these, you know, homes, a lot of times you're under $50,000 as an investor that you're looking at. You might be looking at a $25,000 home. So even if you did get a mortgage for it, you might be paying $3,000 in closing costs, and that's eating up all your profit. So I just started, even if I had to take two or three balance transfer offers and boom, 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 you know, making sure you have it all set in your mind and written down and or alarms going off, knowing exactly when to make that next transfer. So in 18 months, on the 17th month, I've got an alarm going off saying you need to get this transfer either paid off or onto another card. So, and that was the other reason why this guy wanted us to have so many cards out there, so that you could transfer from one to the other to the other. So I'll get one cleared off and transfer it to a few others. Those will stay there for, you know, either for 12 to 18 months. Once I get that one cleared off, I might take off of this other one and move it back over here. So it is, you know, quite a bookkeeping game up here in my mind, but it has allowed us to finally get through and start doing some things that, you know, we just felt like we had our hands tied for a long time, that we didn't have, you know, the money to move forward. And that's been something that has helped us. That's,
you know, when you get a credit card, there's like cash advance, and then you've got the checks. I'm a little bit confused about this whole thing. And then there's where, like, if I've got another credit card with 15% and I want to transfer that over to the 0%, I know I can do that.
Yes. And that's where when you get the check, the balance transfer checks, a balance transfer check is very different than a cash advance. Cash advance, they're going to nail you big time with fees and interest right away from it. But your balance transfer checks, those are the ones. And you've got to read it very carefully. And they'll come in different for he and I because, you know, even though both of our credit scores are the same, he'll get like 1% balance transfer for 18 months, and mine will be 3% for 12 months. So I could always pick and choose. But so we would just write a check, and you can just write that check right to yourself or to cash, and I'd put it right into my bank account. So now I had that money available right in my bank account.
I thought you had to have some sort of debt to pay off, that you couldn't just
some of them are like that say you have to transfer a balance from another credit card. But not all of them. There's a lot of them that you can, and there's some of the companies that I've called, and they will actually, I don't even have to fill out the check. I can just call them and they will transfer it right into my checking account like the next day.
So you can just use that anything. You don't have to put it on a card?
Right.
But when you want to increase your credit, every time you call, they're going to hit you over the head and your credit rating goes down.
No, not necessarily. I mean,
it happened to us.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was that after 2008?
We too went to a course, and we too had the same inquiry, go and do this homework, and the same thing.
Yeah.
It was not just Kiyosaki, but later on we went to another one. And
maybe initially,
and Carl called in, and his credit rating went right down just for calling in and asking.
Well, and they used to have there was things like that. It would just be the same as if you went and looked for a house, or like say if you went up to G&I Homes or something like that, or went to go look at cars. Well, every time that they say, oh, can I see your license, they run back and they pull your credit rating, or they have you sign this little thing. So that you might have, say, you go around look at five different cars today. When they would have those, boom, 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 you'd have five hits on your credit. And sure enough, those couple days or for a month or two later, that would go down, or your credit rating would go down. But they have, I believe there's new rules in that when they can see that it's, say, three car dealerships or three different banks have pulled your report for a loan or, you know, anything like that, when they can see that you're shopping for specific things, your credit does not take a hit anymore because of that.
They count it only as one for 30 days.
Yeah.
I'm aware of that, but still, when you inquire to have your credit increase from a credit card, it instantly hits you and you get losing points.
Well, I mean, you might lose a couple of points here and there, but, I mean, if it's only 30 days, you know, and we did that and we didn't actually use any of that credit for quite some time. So it still was showing that we had, a very nice amount available to us. And we might put, like, little charges on it just to show that we were using it. We pay it off and use them and pay them off. But we didn't just go out and get them and then all of a sudden slam, you know, $20,000 on it.
Yeah.
You know, so it was definitely, a couple of years that started happening. And it wasn't until just recently that I really finally started using, you know, more of those.
With car loans, I know within a 30-day period, you can have any number of applicants for car loans. It only counts as one in a 30-day period. But I don't know if that flies the same with credit cards or not.
I don't know. I'm not a credit. I'm not an expert in that area.
A friend of mine told me recently that if you have a credit card with high limits and you don't use it regularly, the credit card companies may pull it if you don't use it for 12 to 18 months.
We did have one like that. It was only like $8,000 or $9,000, but they shut it down. And I called them up and I was not happy because I used, I might not have used that for, I think it was maybe inactive for 12 months, mm-hmm. and they closed it off on me.
Mm-hmm. So you have to watch.
Yeah, so I was like, shoot. But so now we just use them,
It's like a separate job, just balancing your credit.
It is.
Yeah, but you also have the opportunity, if there are inquiries to your credit report, you can always challenge those inquiries and get them removed from your credit report.
Right.
And you can do that online or in writing.
Oh, cool. Did I understand you to say that you were able to get those balances transferred to your checking account, or you wrote a check to yourself and had it considered a balance transfer and not a cash advance?
Yes.
That's correct?
Yeah. And not every one of them is like that.
Right.
Certain banks are, certain banks aren't. Like, we have some that go through Barclays, and they're really super high interest rates, like 29-30%. But they give us these great balance transfer fees, you know, like 1% for 18 months or so. But those are ones, you know, sometimes it'll say that it has to be written out on the check. Other times I've called and asked them to switch it. So it just depends on different banks, you know. And on those, they're hoping that, you know, I'm going to miss that last payment. But I don't.
But also what I think I've heard, too, is when you're doing the credit card thing, it's not a Sears card, a Macy's card, or a BJ's card. It has to be like a MasterCard, Visa card.
Yes.
To show your credit.
Yeah.
That better credit rating.
Another thing that I didn't realize until just recently is I think it was like with one bank, I think it might have been Barclays, for instance, I had two or three different cards. One was a U.S. Air card. One was just a regular MasterCard. Maybe I just had two. So it might have been two or three accounts there, you know, that I had opened up through different things, but they were all through the main bank, Barclays Bank. And say one might have been a $5,000 credit limit, one might have been $8,000, and one might have been $7,000. They will sometimes, I didn't know this until recently, but they allowed me to take all of those, that available credit, and put it onto one account. So it reduced all my other lines, like, you know, down to whatever the minimum was, maybe $1,000, and then they bumped the other one up to, say, $15,000 or $18,000. So, but then I really couldn't use those other ones very much. But they can move credit around within the same bank.
But, and that probably does help me, too, because a lot of times, like, I have a business credit card, and it has a $12,000 limit, and if you... You know, some months I'll buy a ton of materials on it. If you use $9,000 of that, and then even though I pay it all off at the end of the month, the fact that I've used so close to my available balance, it can sometimes affect your credit score, too. So
yeah, and it can.
Higher available balances, that can be better for if you're taking out big chunks.
Yeah. And that was one of those things that guy says is, you know, every couple of months or every 6 months, you know, call and say, hey, I'm looking at making a big purchase, and see if they'll, you know, up it on you. And again, it's when you've got this much, and if you're only using here. But when you do get up close to it, I think it will take a hit on your credit. But you know what? I'm using credit cards to buy houses. I don't really care. It's 1% is way less than going to the bank. You know, where else am I going to go and get that kind of money?
Or if you want to share the banks, how many banks do you use, and how often do you juggle per bank?
I have probably about three or four different banks.
Okay, Barclays one.
Barclays is one of them.
That's
okay. yeah. Capital One, but Capital One doesn't really offer very many good incentives. Citibank, I can usually get pretty decent transfers from them. The U.S. Air, but again, that goes through Barclays. So, I don't know, maybe three or four. The other thing that, we just bought a HUD house, and I was scrambling because I was like, this is going to be our last one. I say that. But I only had so much on credit cards that I could use, so I did a personal loan through Visions Credit Union. And it was a five-year personal loan for 4.9%.
Who does personal loans anymore?
Wow.
Where do you even hear about people doing personal loans? I remember that years and decades ago, but you never hear about people saying, I'm going to get a personal loan for the house. Like, it's unsecured. You're going to get a personal loan? Somebody got a personal loan.
Yeah. So, I mean, they give it to me just on mine, I got like $17,000. If I put him on my account, we could have got the full 30 for it. But again, at 4%. That's not.
And where did you go again for that?
That was Visions Credit Union.
Visions Credit Union. Is that something local or online?
It's out of Endicott, but there is a there's a branch in Syracuse, but they have great rates. I did a lot of searching, and they had really good rates. It takes $25 to open an account, and then if you pay your loan through your account, they give you what's called a relationship builder, and they take off a, you know, like a quarter of a percent or a half a percent.
How they compare to Empower?
Empower for a personal loan was around 10%.
And
it was a really big difference. And I also went to through NBT Pathfinder. I called. I looked around at a lot of the online credit unions, like Solvay Bank usually has really good rates, but that was the best one that I found for personal.
Did you use anything for collateral?
No, not on personal loan. I mean, they just want your income. They did verify income. I had to send in.
And your credit score. That's why it's so vital to keep a good, high credit score.
Yeah. And both of ours, it's like over 760. So.
That's what you want. That's what you really want. That's one of the tools.
And, I mean, it's bounced around. Like, you know, so sometimes it goes down a little bit, but it typically seems to be going up.
How much money have you extracted from credit cards? Would you venture a guess?
Probably about $50,000.
$50,000 you've moved around or utilized?
Yeah.
$50,000.
Easily.
And what's the most out of one credit card you were able to pull?
$20,000.
Mm-hmm. That's what you need. That's your entry level in order to get going in this game is $20,000. Once you got $20,000 in your hand, you can almost, well, you know.
Oh, yeah. On the houses you've purchased, do you flip or do you keep them over time?
We've been keeping them. Yeah, the first one was supposed to. Yeah, first one was supposed to be a flip, but that's when 2008 hit, and we didn't get it done quite soon enough. So, and in fact, it was at one of John's meetings that I met a man, and he said, "Well, why are you so interested in flipping it?" And he goes, "Why don't you keep it for rent? You know, that's your income." And I was like, "Oh, I don't know, because I wanted to move on to something else quicker."
So,
but
so then you still have to carry that. You're still carrying that credit card debt for the houses that you purchased.
Yeah, I think right now we just figured it out on the way up because I'm not a super bookkeeper. I'm good at moving everything around and paying attention, but knowing what my exact numbers are, I don't. But I think we just figured out we were probably for five houses at about $90,000.
Are you looking at the right time to just go a refinance once you build up your lease base and show them that you got that income coming in? And then
I haven't really thought about that because one of the things that we've got is home equity line out, and that's maxed, which it just did get maxed last week because it's the last one we just did, and then we've got another one that's an owner finance. But everything else is just on those types of things. And if I could get it all bundled together, you know, all of them under one payment for a nice interest rate, I would.
So
clear my brain.
You said when you started, you were pretty much flat broke. And you started with how many credit cards and how long did it take you to build them up to the 20,000 you could extract?
Probably about 4 years.
4 years. It's
still
going for me.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
when
we first started, we were $22,000 in credit card debt.
Pardon me?
When we first started, we were $22,000 in credit card debt.
Yeah.
We were still able to make it, and we weren't buying funky things. We were just eating, you know, and not going out to eat. It was just living because he was seasonal and I didn't have a regular full-time job, and then I was like, baby, you better go do something quick. And I got a job and every paycheck went to paying off that credit card, and I got it paid off in 3 years. And but we ate a lot of fish that he caught. He'd go fishing all winter, but that's how he fed us.
How many units, as opposed to buildings, how many units do you have right now?
Five buildings total.
Okay.
One of them is a four unit.
Okay.
Four one bedrooms.
So you've got eight units. It'd be five plus three.
Yeah, I guess.
Eight units. Do you mind sharing what you gross per month?
I don't know. I'd have to go.
The reason why I ask is that sometimes it puts a little perspective on all the juggling that Nikki is doing. Is it worth it? You know what I mean? Is it really worth it? I mean, Can somebody give her a pen? These are old.
Here. This one's working.
All right. Well, two of them we just bought and closed in on in July and August, but I do have them rented out already. Even though we're doing work on them, I pre-rented them.
Yeah.
Here you go. There's working, I think.
About $5,700.
Per month.
Yeah, gross on five units.
All right, so 57, that's almost 6, that's
72, 68, 70,000
a year.
You know.
And quite honestly, I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to do anything to these poor folks. I mean, they kept saying to me, John, we got this Minetto property, we don't know what we're going to do. We're trying to, you know, we're right up to the gills with that, no equity. Now, granted, between... And Nikki, what she didn't share, I'm not going to share it.
I'll tell.
You wanted to stop. What happened in between?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My mom did. When we went from the Minetto house, she came forward and lent us $25,000 to move forward because she said, "I know where you guys are stuck, and sometimes you need this." So she did give us lent us $25,000, and that's what we were able to. Between that and, I think, did we do it? Oh, no. That one was owner finance. So we were able to do owner financing and put down like $10,000 and use $15,000 for repairs. Because it definitely needed that. So that kind of gave us that next little, you know, step. And then a couple years later, John's father passed on, and we ended up with like $18,000, you know, from that was left after his estate. And we both said, we are not messing this up with, you know, buying stuff.
Doodads.
We're going to buy stuff that's going to make us income. So we ended up, my mom, we call her the Bank of Mom, was nice enough to, we've got some owner financing on another business, and we held on to that for 2 years, and we were able to get out of it unscathed.
Tell me what you mean about business so that people know it's not like a business that you bought. You actually bought...
We bought a storage unit business in Oswego. And so it was pretty decent for... it was fully packed when we bought it, and for about a year after it was, and then everybody else and their brother decided to get into the storage unit business too. And built probably about 400 lockers within 3 miles of us. And another man came along and said, "Hey, do you want to sell?" And I wasn't really planning on it, but I said, "Make me an offer I can't refuse." So he did. And I got out, but, I mean, we didn't really make anything on it, but we were able to, you know, get a little cash on off of it and sell it for, like, what we purchased it for. And but that kind of freed us up to be able to pay my mom back what she had lent us, and then move on to the next one. And then from there on out, it's been credit cards and personal loans.
Personal loans,
yeah.
And home equity.
And home equity. But we don't owe mom nothing.
And they're making $70,000 gross a year.
Yeah. So I have us on about a 6 to 7 year payoff on everything. So they figure.
So do you take all that money that you're grossing right now and put it right back on the credit card?
Yes. Well, most of it. I mean, I gotta juggle. Yeah, I gotta make sure that home equity's paid, number one. That home equity is always number one. Because credit cards are unsecured, but home equity is not.
Where are your properties?
4 in Fulton, 1 in Minetto.
Might want to try Fulton Savings. They've been really good to my daughter. And just put a blanket on all of them.
Really? Mm-hmm. I would.
She's got 6 or 7 with it.
Yeah, if I could find some place that would do it. I haven't looked into it a lot, but that wouldn't be bad. But then again, I also have to say, do I want to pay 4 or 6% as compared to what I'm paying now?
What, 0%?
Yeah. Because, I mean, like when I just took this $20,000 out, we had a 1% transaction fee. So $20,000 to cost me $200.
I usually get hit with 3%, 4%.
That was,
you know,
Barclays.
Wow. Just remember that, Barclay.
Oh, I put a star in that.
Good.
Are they national or?
Yeah.
National.
Did you have a question?
Yeah, I was just wondering, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Through all this, and you haven't tried to apply for any, standard financing?
No.
Because I wondered what the increased credit card level does to that, because I think banks usually look at that as, they look at that available credit as, as if it's already
debt. I think that's where if you were working with a local bank and you could, show that this is what everything was for, they would probably, when you've got five properties maybe up for collateral, that might change their mind.
Yeah, that starts changing the equation a little bit there.
The other day when I went in to cash the check and to get to Nikki so we could finish the transaction on the last house, the woman in charge of the bank, I went and sat down. She goes, "What have you guys been doing?" So I told her, and she goes, "Well, I'd love to sit down with you guys sometime and see what."
But she said, "Well, now you'd be considered commercial." And I go, "Yeah, doesn't commercial mean higher interest rates?"
So I like the Bank of Barclay.
I do too. I'm like, 0%.
Do you have a company for each one of your properties?
No, and that's one thing that we really need to consider. Doing very, very much so. It's definitely been on my mind to take care of doing that.
Do you have your estate plan?
Do we have what?
Your estate plan.
No. Are you kidding? We've just been going like crazy trying to get this done.
Estate planning, and how do you protect your properties and interests and so forth?
We're going to do a little masterminding here in just a second, but I want to just to conclude with Nikki's story and John's story. Is there any other questions that you have before we, because we're gonna turn the recording off. We're gonna do a little bit of masterminding for the remaining time that we have here. How are we doing here, anyways? Okay, we've got a little bit of time. So, any other questions?
Thanks, Liz.
All right, why don't you?
Might not be for everybody, but it's it's a way. It's just another option, and it's been working for us okay so far.
No, you go right ahead.
You said you're not a bookkeeper, but you obviously are great at managing so you can jump from hill to dale and so forth. My question is, how do you manage the bookkeeping piece of it? Or do you have somebody else do your bookkeeping for you?
I have somebody do my taxes. But what's funny is I am a bookkeeper for a business, and I do keep our books
so
for all of
them. Oh, you already have a sense of.
Yeah, she knows what she's doing. She just doesn't give herself credit.
I know how to
feeling, but sometimes when you're doing stuff, you can't always stay on top of it.
Yeah.
As an outsider might, in terms of vis-a-vis the bookkeeper.
Yeah, I definitely don't bookkeep the rental business like I do where I work, or how I do it for our golf business. It's definitely I'm not. I feel like I barely have time to even do that, But I just kind of I'm doing the best I can right now with what time I have and managing three businesses and three different minds.
All right, we're gonna conclude this part. Yeah, thank you, Nikki, John, all of you. Yeah, give them a hand. It's really great to hear what they have to say. And all right, well, thank you for listening to this evening's presentation, and get ready for October. We've got some awesome things, and you'll be getting an email about that shortly. All right, have a good evening.